It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Yeah, literally just had an update right before starting this, and now we can put an AI companion in the Zoom meeting. Yeah, haven't looked into it yet. Probably will at some point look into it. Don't know that I'll use it ever, but curious what it is.
Of course, my immediate thought is I'm getting replaced by this AI companion pretty soon. It'll be the magical talking hat with Tony and maybe you'll call it William. I don't know.
Honestly, they say AI. I think it's just like a chat bot you can put in there. Sure. So if it's at that level, we're both in trouble.
We could just have two chatbots talking to each other for an hour.
It's the day they invent a chatbot that can build other chatbots, us and like several thousand other podcasts are just gone. That's a very specific form of singularity that occurs the next morning. It's not even like we just stopped, like we just never had a podcast.
Yeah.
Like all that spurs it forward right there. And you and I have never had a podcast.
Nope.
So, you know how I always say, unless I'm referring to you specifically, I'm never talking about you in any generalization.
Usually, yeah.
Yes. I think I've figured out a way that I can twist this to evil.
Really?
Yes. So here's what I think. If I say, for example, here, For the period of this conversation, anytime I say William, not only am I specifically referring to you, I am only referring to you. I essentially create a situation where comparing it to you exists in a vacuum. I essentially have created the word William becomes like Smurf.
The William who Williamed William, that kind of thing.
Yes, but also I can say things like, you know, you are as perverted as a William, and it's both literally true and can mean anything I want. Every single thing you do is exactly what a William would do.
I mean, yeah,
that's,
I mean, by that
so
definition,
like
sure.
Him. And anything I ascribe to you, it is as likely to happen to you as any other William, again, within the confines of specifically you. I'm not saying it's linguistically very interesting. I'm saying I feel it makes my life easier. It's a quality of life issue for me. No. It actually is just born out of a shower thought that I had earlier, because I'm like, I don't have a lot for this episode. And I was like, I should ask William the last time he had a chili dog. And I'm like, I know why I should ask him that, but I don't know if I can explain why. And the closest I could come to is I'm like, because the a William ass William answer to that question is gonna be an interesting story.
I don't
but
know.
I couldn't. So then I was doing, I'm like, it's a very, because that's, it's like, I don't know that you've ever had a chili dog. I don't know that that's one of the things back when you ate meat that you used to like, or if you were, they were ruined by Adventureland. It like, it's like asking Jazz to tell us about whatever cousin taught her to read. Like, you know, it's gonna, there's gonna be a story behind it.
Yeah.
One way or another. So, but yeah, in the process, I was like, I could just be like, because I, that's what a William would say, like, whatever your answer is going to be. I'm like, so anyway, William, when's the last time you had a chili dog?
And you mean, like, with real meat?
I mean, whatever. I want you to play in the space of this question. I want a William ask William answer to this question.
Well, as it turns out, A&W restaurants sell a Coney dog. And
oh yeah,
I used to love, you know I love A&W. I got my A&W shirt on, and used to love to go to A&W restaurants. And my favorite thing to get with my root beer was onion rings and a Coney dog. That's what I like to get. So the last time I had one of those, which probably is the last time I had a real hot dog, chili dog, I was probably, I don't know, I'd say 15 years old probably. And I was going to stay with my grandparents, and the A&W restaurant we went to the most was in Indianola, and that was on the way to my grandparents' okay. house. So my grandparents would come pick me up. They were going to have me for 2 weeks, a month, however long it was. And as we were driving back, we would have a meal at A&W, and I'm sure I got a Coney dog with onion rings and root beer. Because I did really like Coney dogs so much. When I became a vegetarian, I did want to find a good, hot dog substitute or whatever. And since then, I've had those kinds of chili dogs many, many, many times. I don't know when the last time was exactly, but it wasn't that long ago. When Abby makes chili, she makes these huge batches so that we can eat them.
And you just do like a textured vegetable protein or just bean or?
Yeah, like something that's sold as a fake hot dog. There's also brands that are made from, it's still, like you said, textured vegetable protein, like some that are made for more like a gluten type of thing.
Yeah.
Some that are made
for, but I mean for the chili, not for the dog.
Oh, usually that just doesn't have anything in it. It's just beans and.
Oh, okay. But beans. Okay. There we go. Cause yeah. This is, I'm sorry, you go ahead, but this is indicative of issues that I have.
Right. Because not all chili has beans as I understand it, but.
And not all cheese is cheese.
Yeah, but all the chili I've had on chili dogs is mostly beans, and sometimes I don't think the chili that A&W put on chili dogs had any meat in it. I think it was just beans with, like, spiced in a spice sauce, a chili spice sauce or whatever.
That's very surprising. I've never encountered that.
I don't think
I've never encountered a chili dog where the chili had no meat.
I could be wrong about that, but I don't really remember there being meat in it. But when Abby makes chili, she makes a big batch that we can have leftovers for several days. And so I'll have it sometimes by itself, sometimes with cheese on it, sometimes whatever. But I will definitely have a chili dog from that, whatever batch she makes. I'll at least have one because I love them.
See, there are so many topics about which you would talk at that same length, if not more, not remotely interesting. But I just knew, and I don't know your history with chili dogs. Like, this is not a trick. I'm not cold reading. Well, I guess I am kind of cold reading you in this case. I was like, William would have something interesting to say about chili dogs. And I was like, I don't know if he likes them. I don't know if he eats them. I don't know if he's ever eaten them. I don't know if he has a relative who was half chili dog. I don't, like, something's happening. This is the thing. I love all the component parts of a chili dog. But there are more parts than people are considering. every chili dog arguably is going to have a hot dog. It might not be meat. It might be a fake hot dog, whatever. Hot dog and a bun of some sort. And let's just assume for the moment that I love all combinations of hot dogs and buns. I don't. But simplifying. After that, do you have actual shredded cheese melted on there? What kind? Or is it cheese or cheese sauce? Or is it both? I've had some that are both. And then the chili. Oh my God, the chili. There are parts of at least this nation where if you said chili and then you said a chili dog, they would be like, those, like, that's the same thing. Like the chili, you would eat a bowl of chili, and the chili you would put on a chili dog are the same thing. There is not more than one kind of chili. And then there are parts of this country that if you had a chili dog and there were beans in the chili, they would be very confused. And all of these combinations make for different flavor. But like, if I'm in the mood for a fake cheese and beanless chili dog, and I go to some place that, you know, is higher end, and so it's shredded cheddar cheese and this really elaborate chili with all sorts of stuff in it, that's not what I want at all. But there are times when I do really like that. So it's a very complicated thing. But I love chili. I love cheese. I love hot dogs. If you can put them together right for me, I'm happy.
I seem to recall the A&W version was, I think it was an all beef hot dog, and there were beans in the chili. I don't really remember if there was beef. Doesn't seem like there was, but I don't remember that. And then there was onions on top of that.
And some will do onions, some will do peppers.
Yeah. And you could add mustard and relish if you wanted, which I often did, but that's how they served it, just like that. So, and they still do. I mean, you can still get a Coney dog at A&W.
Yeah.
But
William can't, but the rest of us can. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that literally just prior to recording watched The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror or Terror 34.
Wow.
Yeah. It was fine. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 660.
Oh, we're into it now. Two of the digits have clicked into place. The thunder sheets are rumbling. The fake lightning effects are kicking in. Somebody turned on the fan. It's getting close. One of us should be speaking in backwards Latin at this point, I assume, for the next 6 weeks. You do that.
I think that's you.
For those of you just joining us, we have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And it is sad because even though it is the only hat out there that has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, the email address is empty. And the hat has been coasting for a long time on its sense of self-satisfaction of being the only hat with an email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. But now it drunkenly screams, what's the point of an email if nobody emails it? I mean, it would. It doesn't talk, reestablishes, but it flings its drink down and glares at me in a way that I know that's what it's saying. So people could write in whatever they want.
It drinks, and then the hat
magically would forward that to us. It doesn't seem magic to you all, but again, remember, it's a hat doing this. Magic. And we would read it on the air and talk about it. But that's not, I haven't got that. So, and Azure Talon, yes, you've written some stuff on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Thank you very much. I have not looked at it yet. You got to remember, we're back to our regular schedule. For us, this is Monday, even though we just recorded Thursday, posted Thursday. So we're in it, and we fell back. So it's not even the hour you think it is. So what I'm saying is just calm down. I'll get to it. How was your week?
It was good. I watched that Enfield thing you talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so...
The thing that was a docuseries of audio from 1962 that then got recreated in the present day of that time, a ghost Enfielded some people.
Well, what they did was
baseball thing.
No, what they did was they they reproduced the interior of the house, and some people who went through the thing and lived there were really impressed with how they, because they had so many photographs, they could reproduce everything pretty much exactly.
Yeah.
But then they hired actors who looked more or less like the people who experienced it back in 1977. And then when they played the tape, and the actors lip synced along with the tape, which was really cool. I mean, it was really neat. It's like, wow. I mean, the acting was so good. I mean, here's the thing.
I gotta admit, when you phrase it that way and don't have anything to do with it being about finding a ghost or whatever, it sounds kind of cool.
The lip syncing wasn't always, say, perfect, although sometimes it was, and that was really impressive. It was the acting that they did with it. It's like, I'm just trying to think of the mental bandwidth you'd need to remember the lines, to remember when to speak them with pauses and everything, but to act like to act like you're really saying these things in a very convincing and realistic. I mean, it was amazing what they did. It was completely amazing to watch.
This is a common thing you see a lot in more recent film work, especially like new media film work. I believe it is called kid snippeting. Is the term to kid snippet, where you just act while you're lip syncing.
You're making reference to that YouTube channel that used to do.
I am, in fact, called Kid Snippets, where they would do this exact thing. But instead of 1960s poltergeist
but this
families,
70s, this was, but this is
children.
This is like dramatic. I mean, it's really effective. And
some of those were very dramatic kid snippets. I don't know what you're talking about.
And on top of the film craft, I guess you could say, of it, which is super impressive from beginning to end. It's only four episodes, hour long episodes. It's actually a pretty good documentary about that event. I think it gives you good insight into what the people who experienced it thought they experienced, why they believe it. while not shying away from the controversies that make a lot of other people think it was, you know, a hoax or that people were fooled or whatever else. I mean, if you watch it, I think people who go into it skeptical will probably leave the same way, but people who go in believing will probably leave the same way. The documentary doesn't really tell you what to think. It just says, well, this is what people said right from the tapes. This is what was reported.
I'm waiting for the one that convinces me ghosts are real. So if this one's not going to do that.
Well, I think this would convince people who believe the eyewitness testimonies like that happened. So, for example, there was a female police officer who she says she saw a chair move across the floor, and she examined it to see if there was any, you know, nobody was around it. So she thought, well, are there like wires or, you know, invisible wires or whatever? She couldn't find anything like that. She said she took a marble and put it on the floor to see if the floor was like uneven or something, but the marble didn't move. So this person investigated it, you know, in a couple ways, probably more ways than she said. And so to her thinking, she watched an object completely independently, violating any reasonable or known law of physics, just slide across the floor. Now, Are there alternative explanations? Sure. I mean, someone could have given it a push and she just didn't see, and she doesn't remember not seeing. Because here's the thing about this kind of stuff. Because another thing was this, there was a photographer who said he saw things flying around the room and he was standing in the corner and could see everybody. But that's not how human perception works. You attend to things. The example I was giving Abby when we were talking about this was, you know, they have YouTube videos now that where they'll say, all right, count the number of times these basketball players, these five basketball players dribble a basketball. And then in the video, while that's happening, someone in a gorilla suit like walks through the middle of the scene, sometimes stops and waves and everything. And most people who are paying attention to counting how many dribbles there were did not see that.
That's why I don't count.
What I'm saying is human attention.
And no gorillas have snuck up on me.
Human perception doesn't work that way. You can't, nobody can say, well, I was standing in a corner, I could see everything that was going on. No, magicians.
They say that all the time.
I know, but magicians and mentalists and stage people who are skilled in certain types of stagecraft know that if you distract a person in just the right way, they will not see very obvious things, right? That maybe a camera watching would see or whatever. Sleight of hand and you know what the magicians call it. They don't call it distraction. They call it, I'm blanking on the name, but the point is human perception doesn't work that way. You can't just say, well, I was in a position to see everything. And I'm telling you, I would have seen it if they did this. Well, maybe you wouldn't have. Now, someone could argue, but how would the people who were perpetrating this hoax, how would they have known where you were paying attention, or how would they have gotten you to pay attention someplace else? And those are good questions, since the perpetrators of the hoax are supposed to be like an 11 and a 13-year-old girl. So that's fair. But I'm just saying, if you're watching it, you hear what these people say, and if you believe what they say, if you believe that they could see the whole room and they could see that things were flying on their own and they weren't distracted by anything and the lighting was good and all that, I think you would walk away thinking something happened, something other normal. But again, if you're a skeptic, you probably won't, because there's so much information missing for what people are saying. And people seem to be making claims about human memory and perception that just are factually not true. So
I mean, if I believed what people said on Haunting of Hill House, I'd believe ghosts are real.
Okay, but these are people who are saying they experienced this thing.
Yes, and I am willing to concede the possibility right off the bat that they all might not be lying. None of them might be lying.
But
yes, we're all aware eyewitness testimony is terrible and these people suck.
Well, also perceptions. I mean, whenever I hear someone say, I know what I saw, that always gets me, because I mean, at some point when I was a kid, a little kid, I figured out, I don't always see what I think I see. So I don't know why, but maybe someone
William,
challenged
we
me.
All achieved object permanence somewhere in the early stages.
No, it's but you know what I'm deal. Saying. At some point, I realized that my perception and my memory are both unreliable things, and that I need to check with other people, or I need to make some contemporaneous records so that I remember. And that was just something that was reinforced over time. Like I would have jobs where I would realize, oh, I should have written down when that happened, because now it's just my word that I'm giving somebody. And, you know, it's better if I wrote that down. So, you know, to hear people put so much faith in their memory and their perception like that always surprises me, because I feel like it's just a part of growing up to realize your memory and your perception are really not that reliable. Also, it's not, there aren't just two options. Like, it's not just you're a liar or you're crazy. There's a lot of other options for how you could be wrong about this that aren't either one of those, but that's usually
and
where people
could
go.
Be both.
Well, it's also, it Let's could be both fair. True, but it could be, you're not, you did experience, your memory of it is exactly what you say, but you're also not crazy. You didn't have a psychotic episode even. It's just, you can't, human perception's not perfect and human memory's not perfect, and that's okay. It's just being human. There's no reason to think there's only those two things. So I think it's, I would recommend people watch it just to see how it's made and how cool that is. Also, if you're, even if you're a skeptic, it's a very interesting, it's a documentary. So, it, and it's got some very interesting, I think, historical, you know, it, it presents a very interesting historical story, anthropological story, really. I think there's just all kinds of levels of it being interesting, even if you think, well, this didn't really happen. And the Warrens are only in it for like a second. Just a second.
Get punched. We should make this clear for legal reasons and everything. William is advocating for this show on a personal level. We are not at all affiliated or sponsored by Apple TV Plus. And in fact, we should make it clear, William, the individual, is telling everyone to go out and illegally BitTorrent the show. Because in no way are we... Just William. I wouldn't say that myself. But William, because we are in no way affiliated with them, would like you to go illegally BitTorrent whatever, I mean, the show is called. Which I think also, is the Enfield Poltergeist.
Enfield Poltergeist, yeah. It's also interesting from a psychological perspective, right? I mean, if, there's some really interesting things going on with some of these people. And so, I don't know. I thought it was quite good. I understand it's not your kind of thing, so I, you know, don't blame you or other people.
We'll see. Like I said, the way you phrase it, it seems more, it sounds more interesting to me. But it's as a different thing than what I originally thought of it as. It's how I approach it, but.
Yeah, I didn't know. When, in fact, when it first said they're going to lip sync the stuff from the tape, I thought, how's that going to work? But it really worked. It was amazing. And some of the actors are young, you know, they're young people and they're like doing this fantastic job. It was just really interesting. It's really interesting. But anyway, that's probably the biggest thing.
Don't anyone tell him it was all CG.
We also watched something else, but now I'm not remember what it was. Like something that you would want me to mention that I almost never mention these things. Not a blockbuster, I don't think. Was it?
Well, movie or TV show?
I want to say it was a movie. Maybe not. Maybe we didn't. if I remember, I'll bring it up. What have you been doing since last Thursday that we recorded?
Not a ton. I've been sleeping a lot. I've been sleeping really well, so I've been like leaning into that.
And that's pretty like, good, probably.
Yeah, it's nice. It's been a while.
You weren't feeling very good last time. You said your allergies were really getting you.
Yeah. I think that's a little bit better because the house got closed up again. Although now the temperature's a little bit higher. I'm a little nervous. We'll see. I always hate, Trish is like, I'm glad because I'm not ready for it to be real cold yet. I'm like, yeah, I just want it to pick a lane. I just want to know what season are we currently operating in. You right. Tell me. Anyway, I did go to Des Moines.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Why'd you do that?
To go to the Iowa State Fairgrounds.
Oh, what was going on there?
I almost took some pictures to send to you to make you feel jealous. I don't know if it was a state or a district or a region or a capital or what, but it was some sort of high school based competitive cheerleading.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And yeah. One of the neighbors was on the team. And last year we didn't get to see any competitive cheerleading. We only got to see some cheerleading at a football game, which who the hell cares? And I don't like football anyway. So this year we went. And it went late into the night, so we actually stayed in a hotel not too far away and stayed overnight in Des Moines.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it was just a lot of high school cheerleading.
Remember what building it was in?
The Jacobson building. It's right next to the pavilion that says beer on it.
Jacobson. I don't know.
It's a pretty big one in the middle.
In the middle.
I don't know. All I know is when you use Google Maps to get there, it literally takes you to a spot with a locked, unattended gate that you cannot get through.
Oh,
but eventually you can figure it out.
I think that's the Jake. Okay, so that's also the I'm remembering now. That's also the place where they have a lot of their horse. Well, all of their a lot of their life, yeah, a lot of their livestock. Their livestock display stuff is there, right?
Usually, and it's a giant pavilion out front that says beer, in Iowa.
Sure. Yeah, they used to. So the state fair, there's a big barn on one side of the fair where they used to have all of their, like, all of their livestock showing and all of their horse shows and displays and stuff. And then they built this place that you went to, and most of the stuff happens there now for big livestock displays, or like a lot of the stuff they do. Yeah, well, a lot of the stuff they do with horses involves, you know, it needs a lot of space because they're prancing around, or, you know, showing how they can run or jump or whatever.
What do you think high school cheerleading is?
I'm just telling you, this is what that building was. This is what that building was built for. But they can put a false. I mean, obviously they weren't doing the cheerleading on the regular dirt surface they have under there.
So yeah, it was actually they'd tumble around the barrels.
They can put a false floor in there and have events, which they have done. I forgot about that. I don't really go there very much when I go to the fair, actually. I don't. You'd think I would, because Abby's a big fan of horses in general. But I think whenever we go, that's not when they're having their big horse events when we're there.
That's probably when they're doing cheerleading.
Okay. But your person wasn't till late.
Well, my person's section wasn't till late. There's different division categories and age categories and stuff. And perhaps unsurprisingly, the breakdown of what qualifies as a co-ed or not co-ed team and what that is related to in the state of Iowa is fucked.
Mm.
So there are a lot of groups. Co-ed gets sort of lumped together outside of divisions because there are very strict and some would say horrific backwards rules about how being co-ed on a cheerleading team operates. Anyway, it continues to not do anything for me. It's too diffuse. Here's the thing. Sometimes there's a competition or a hobby or a thing I am into. Let's say roller derby circa 5-10 years ago. Was really into that. I look forward to going to the games. I cheered like crazy. I followed little bits. I got better and better at understanding it, the intricacies of it, and what this means. And we could leave and Trish and I could talk about how good a game each team played that doesn't necessarily reflect the score, but other factors. And like, I can geek out on this stuff. If it is not that, and is some larger sporting situation, I kind of don't give a shit. And that is when it is contested. When there's like two teams and you can at least be like, point, what's the score? Things like that. But I still don't give a shit. If you abstract it further to where it's just, here are people performing things in succession, I'm even less engaged. And when you take out the one thing that can hold me there, if it is some sort of musical performance or potentially a dramatic theatrical performance or something, if you take out that, I don't know what you're left with. But that thing is what competitive cheerleading is to me. It is so, like, there's nothing wrong with that, but like, it is objectively 6 degrees removed from anything I'm interested in.
Hmm.
So I don't know, if that was too much.
You were there a long time to feel that way about it.
No, I was not even there. I mean, we were there a couple hours, I think.
Oh, just a couple hours. Okay.
Because their section was only like 3 hours long. And it also all fell that, like, so then after they performed, it was like 7 something and we hadn't eaten dinner. and it wasn't our kid. And so we weren't going to wait around for like another 2 hours till the trophy ceremony. That we didn't, like, it's not like we anticipated them winning or anything particularly, so we bailed to have supper. They did not win a trophy, but, and honestly, I can't, I heard they did well. I saw all the performances except theirs, except for the 5 minutes when they were out there, because that was exactly the point that, despite the constant loudspeaker talk about don't stand up in this area because people sitting in the stands won't see it, that's when a bunch of people decided to do that. And I didn't move to what they call the 5 minute seating, which is the front row. And they have a thing where you can be there just when your school is going, so you can get all your pictures or whatever. And everybody else went, and I was like, no, it's a straight shot here, I'm fine. And that's when people decided to get in the way, and I didn't see none of it.
Oh, that's too bad.
So that was also sad. But apparently it was good. Anyway, let's get to the important part. Breakfast the next morning.
Mm. Where'd you go?
We went to a place called The Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
That's a, it's a breakfast all day, brunchy kind of place in Des Moines. And there were a lot of things on the menu that I couldn't, there were so many things I wanted to try, but I had to go with my thing. You know about this, you've witnessed this.
Chicken and waffles.
Exactly. Well done. And you also know from experience, it has, except I've had some since you, but none of it's been good. I have not had good chicken and waffles in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hurt, because that's sad. But this looked like it was going to be a good one, so I went for it, and I'm glad I did. It was very good. And I will say this, it had a good fried chicken breast, I think. I don't know. It was very good, but it was like a boneless piece of chicken and a good waffle. It was a little bit soggy by the time it got out to me, but it was a good thick, real one. And syrup, as you will. It also came with a little monkey dish of gravy, like country gravy, sausage gravy kind of thing, which to me, no, we don't do that. I love gravy, but that's not what chicken and waffles is for. But this was really good gravy, so I didn't put it on with the rest, but some of the bites were with the gravy, because it's really good gravy.
Nice. Well, what did you do for supper the night before, though? Because there's probably, we went lots to of
a Lebanese place.
Oh.
That Trish found. I honestly don't remember the name, which for, oh, I do remember that. I was thinking Open Sesame. And according to some of the reviews, some of the best Lebanese in Des Moines, it was perfectly adequate.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was, it had a very straightforward menu of Lebanese dishes, most of which you've heard of. And it was fine. But yeah,
okay.
Nothing that's really.
What else did you want to try at the breakfast place that you were almost tempted you away
from? Trish tried this blueberries and cream pancakes.
Mm.
And they had like cinnamon. It really was, the whole thing was very cinnamon roll-y, but then also with just a ton of blueberries on it. And luckily I did try those, because Trish ate like half of them, and Trish won't eat the leftovers of that, so I ate them later. They had so many different kinds of eggs benedict, they had a bunch of, they had, I don't even remember all of it now, but they had these loaded like hash brown skillet things. And one of them was called the Cowboy Killer, and it involved four strips of bacon, four links of sausage, and then there was like chilies in it and a bunch of cheese and I think some chili con queso in it, and like it was just this whole thing that was like, that intimidates even me. But no, I was the big one was they had breakfast corn dogs that are like done with the breakfast sausage and maple butter and a maple like a, batter covering. Yeah, like and I almost went for that. It's
supposed to be like a pancake around it instead of
exactly corn bread or whatever. Yeah. So I almost went for that one. Trish, I think they maybe homemade or at least locally sourced their sausage links because they were very irregular shaped and tasty. So that was good too. But outside of that, there's not a lot going on. I think we watched some movies. We watched a movie on Shudder called Perpetrator that had Alicia Silverstone in it, who I haven't seen in anything for a while. It wasn't for us. It wasn't. It's not a new filmmaker. It's somebody who's been around for a while. I do not recall her name, but she's done things. She has a CV that is admirable. And that is surprising, given this movie didn't feel like somebody who's done a lot of filmmaking. Neither of us liked it. It had very strong feminist metaphoric ideas. I think in there, it had a lot of ideas that kind of just piled onto each other in weird ways. It felt very personal. But yeah, we did not like it much at all. I cannot recommend, but I'm absolutely willing to consider the possibility that like it's not for me and there's something I'm not seeing, but
I remember now, we saw Five Nights at Freddy's is what we saw.
Oh my god, you saw Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. And
I mean, it's not, I mean, I knew going into it, it's not really my kind of thing, but I thought it was good. I mean, I thought it was like, I knew why people liked it because it was perfectly good film, really, and it was PG-13, right? So like, it wasn't, a lot of people who played the game didn't like that, right? Because the game's kind of probably pretty gory or whatever. So I actually appreciated that it was PG-13. And I appreciated that they tried to tell some kind of story and develop character in it and things, which again, I've heard some people object to because like, hey, this is a video game and it's just supposed to be scary and it's just supposed to be... they spent a lot of time.
It's kind of not, because I have delved into this a little bit. A lot of the story in that movie is actually in the video games.
Well, they take a lot of time to do it, which I appreciate.
Like, you don't, it's the kind of lore that like you have to read all the things you find.
And, yeah, and, like, right.
So there are plenty of people who will just play the game and not know, but no, there's this elaborate, because that was the thing. I assume we have the biggest Five Nights at Freddy's fan living next door. He is always fascinating to me because he's like a combination of little kid me and grown up me, in that he is fascinated by horror and simultaneously terrified of horror. And it's like really rough for him. And I remember having that feeling and still having that feeling. He went and saw it in the theater and it was difficult for him to do. And I told him I couldn't go see it in the theater, but he went and saw it. But when originally it was going to come out, I was like, are you annoyed at what they've done with it? He's like, no, it's pretty accurate to the story. And I was like, really? And so I've been, CZ's World did a thing recently about it and I've seen a couple other things. And yeah, like the people complaining about that just weren't paying attention.
I mean, I found myself actually enjoying it quite a bit. But like I said, I'm not saying I would recommend it necessarily, but I thought, this is watchable. This isn't, I mean, I'm not sure what motivated us to see it, because it wouldn't be the kind of film we would normally watch, but probably the fact that it was based on a video game. I think that was just made it a curiosity, like, well, how are they going to do, right? How is this going to work? I don't know. I thought it was pretty good, but I can't speak for people who are fans of the game, obviously. And I think that I suspect that it might not be very interesting to someone. Like, we like video games. So that was our hook. And if you don't have that hook, I'm not sure what would make you really enjoy it that much. But I mean, I thought it was okay.
I'll probably watch it at some point. There have been a few of them now. The sad part is the Five Nights at Freddy's movie has come a little late to the game. There have been a few movies of this sort of genre. Willy's Wonderland, the weird Banana Splits movie they did a while back.
Oh.
There have been a few of them now, but I don't think I've seen any of them, so maybe I should come in on this one and see what I think. It doesn't seem like a genre I'd be into, but...
If you did see it, I would be very interested to hear your opinion.
Well, I don't know. Most of the movies I watch, I don't tell you about.
I know.
But I probably should tell you about another one, because I also saw another one.
Ah, okay.
Last night, we watched Quiz Lady. That, like, just came out on Hulu.
Quiz Lady, yeah. Who's in that? I've heard of that.
Sandra Oh and Awkwafina.
Right.
Playing sisters.
Sisters.
Who are road tripping to do a knockoff version of Jeopardy, in my opinion. That the youngest sister has always been obsessed with, so she's really good at it. So they have to earn a bunch of money.
Mm.
Or else gangsters will do things. It's that sort of comedy.
Oh. Okay, gangster, sure.
I don't know. It's...
You got that you wanted to like it look.
I have always liked Sandra Oh and have spent most of my time struggling with Sandra Oh's career choices. And I love Awkwafina. And I fear she has already been boxed into a specific character type that I'm already sick of. The few times I have seen her in something that is not the same role she's always put in, blown away. Crazy Rich Asians and Mother was that movie called? The one where she goes to China with the family and grandma has cancer and we're not telling grandma. That one was amazing. It was rough to watch, but she did a really good job of that. This movie is one of two things. Either it's a Red Notice, which is my biggest hunch, or it's, again, not for me. This is a movie made for somebody's very specific experience. Theoretically, being Asian and being a pair of sisters.
Oh.
those appear to be the... But everything about this does feel like... And here's a digital asset we've taken from a different movie plot. Again, it has that written by AI feel. Like, there's definitely stakes, there's definitely conflict, there's definitely rising action. Like, it's a movie, and it follows the plot the way movies like this are supposed to. It's one of those movies that's like a romantic comedy, but instead it's existing family members,
right?
That movie. But it's the same story beats. And, like, we got, you know, near the end, we got the bit where we finally yell at each other, which in the rom-com is when we find out that one or usually both parties have been lying to the other about something critical. But in the family ones is when we finally blurt out, I was always mad at you over that shit you did 40 years ago. And the other person's like, I only did it because I was on cocaine and pregnant. Meet your cocaine addicted half sister. I don't know. The point is, it's the second one. My point is, Ronnie Chang plays a frankly uncomfortable cross-dressing role as the cocaine addicted half sister that only comes out of the third act turn. And frankly, it made the whole film seem way more racist than it should have been. And I really like Ronnie Chang, so I don't know why he did it. But otherwise, the film was fun.
Otherwise, it was fine.
Other than that grotesque bit of bigotry. No, I mean, it's that movie. It was fine to watch. It was fine. It was definitely, I was not sad, except in the general existential sense that we're all always sad, right? while I watched it, I probably didn't even play on my phone for like a third.
We're still playing Diablo 4. Do you think you and your wife will do that, or?
Oh, no.
No?
I mean, maybe in 6 years, I'll play it a little bit. And maybe once or twice, I'll get her to play it. If the gruesome twosome of my sister-in-law and her best friend get into that, like they got into Diablo 3. Maybe one weekend we get talked into doing that, but nah. I'm getting very big diminishing returns on Diablo's storyline in general. B, Diablo 3 never really clicked for me. And C, this is a huge one at this point. I need some good incentive to buy anything from Blizzard. Blizzard's a pretty fucked up company, or has been for quite a while, in a variety of ways, some of which I consider to be bad business, some of which I consider to be reprehensible ethically. But just in general, I am not a fan of that corporation at present. So
I see.
Which is too bad, because I kind of wanted to buy that redone version of Diablo 2, because I played some... That was my era of LAN party, was playing Diablo 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I remember I was playing the Sorceress and I got someone that had something called Fireball in it. We hadn't used it yet. We went through this portal and I hit the button and my screen froze up. But like the six other guys around me all went, whoa. And then when my screen came back, all the bad guys were dead. I don't know what happened, but they say it looked cool.
Your screen went out. Why would your screen go out? What is?
Because it was too much happening on screen at once.
Oh, okay. It
overloaded our poor beige gray CRT screens in there. Processes run by monkeys and whatever.
Where did you? Where did you go to do that kind of game?
Mostly, I didn't do it for very long. But what I did is, so when I graduated college and didn't leave town like a dumbass, a few other friends also didn't leave town like dumbasses. And three of them essentially started their own web design company at a time when that was a relatively new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they went so far as to actually rent a shop front in downtown Grinnell, and so they had an office space, and so I would just stop by in my off hours and just hang out, and they had all their computers already networked up, And so, yeah, we made land really easily like that. And they literally had no bosses or anything, so they did whatever. Wasn't super successful. They eventually all left town and went their separate ways. But go figure.
Do people still game like that? I mean, I remember in
No,
the,
because you don't need to.
oh, that's right. What am I thinking? But yeah, like even the
The
late 90s
closest you
people
get
were
is
doing.
Bluetooth things sometimes. People do Space Team or, shit on the Nintendo Switch or whatever. But yeah, no, we don't have to have that anymore. You can, well, that's, I told you, my friends who got really into Diablo 3 live in Illinois and Florida, respectively. They just call each other on the phone and play some Diablo 3 online once every couple of weeks.
I don't know. We've been enjoying playing it mostly. I mean, we like to do couch co-op stuff anyway, which we have rarely gotten to do in the last,
That's the
couple
thing, is we just sort of
decades.
haven't done it in ages. I don't know that we're that interested anymore. We had a couple opportunities we just haven't taken, so. And we got burned by things like Overcooked. That game messed us up. If you want to stay married, don't play Overcooked.
Okay. Good tip. I'll have to remember that for when I'm counseling couples.
So if there's one thing I know, we don't like to put things in boxes here, except this one thing. Play Overcooked. No, that's not just true of marriage, it's true of friendship, it's true of family. Do not play Overcooked with somebody with whom you wish to maintain an ongoing relationship of any sort.
Positive.
It's a rough time.
Yeah.
If our podcast here can bring you anything after 34 Tree Houses of Horror, it's that don't play Overcooked with anybody. William and I play it all the time because I barely recognize him as another living being. Barely. But other people should not. All
Don't do it.
right. It's Monday, as per usual. If anything interesting happened in the last 3 days, it's not our fault. Please go email the hat, because otherwise this happens. The hat's email is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You can say whatever you like. If it's too fucked up, we might have to veto it. It's happened, but seldom. We're into some really freaky shit, so give us a try. The worst that can happen is your stuff won't get on a podcast, and isn't it already not on a podcast currently?
Yeah, so what do you have to
So
lose?
who are you to resist? You got anything exciting coming up this week?
I mean, just doing practicum stuff. To me, it's exciting and interesting. Of course, I can't talk about any of it because it deals with clients and stuff, but.
See, chili dogs, gold. This, yeah. All right. Listening in next week, and maybe then, I'll have had a chili dog. I don't have a good closer here. I want a chili dog now.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.